Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about the Sally family from Wilmore, specifically Robert Sally. We'll be joined by his wife Phyllis, his son John, right after this word from one of our great sponsors here on Jess FM.
On the fourth Thursday of November, Americans pause to give thanks. Central Kentucky Hauling would like to take this opportunity to thank their customers in Jessamine County and the city of Nicholasville for allowing them to be part of the community. On Thursday, November 22nd, Central Kentucky Hauling will be closed to allow their employees time to celebrate the holiday with their families. All residential, trash, and recycling services will be delayed one day after Thanksgiving. Thursday routes will run Friday, and Friday routes will run Saturday. They wish customers in Jessamine County and the city of Nicholasville a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Doug Fain with you as we continue to learn more about people and places and things of our county. And today we're going to talk to a family who has been in the southern part of our community for quite some time, the southwestern part, and that's Wilmore. The Sallys are who we are discussing today, in particular Robert Sally and his wife and son and whole family for that matter. So we have with us today Phyllis Sally, who is the wife of Robert, and their son John. Welcome to the program. Now you're going to have to scoot up there. I want you to get right up on it. Don't be afraid to even, I'm not worried about his volume,
but
just speak up so we can hear you well. We've got a lot to cover here because all three of you have been involved in the community in some way, some more of the whole county, some just with Wilmore. So why don't we, Phil, start with you. Tell me a little about Robert. Tell me who his parents were, maybe how they even came to be in this area of the state, if you know. I mean, were they here all the time, and so who his siblings were? Just background about that.
Robert's parents were Billy Sally and Lillian Brock Sally.
Mm-hmm.
They had seven living children. It was Billie Jean Rainwater, Betty Sally Coomer, Donnie Ray Sally, Robert Stanley Sally, and Helen Marie Sally.
Now, how many of those seven are still living?
Two.
Just to Billy?
Billie Jean and Donnie.
And, of course, Billie Jean is the one that decided that it would be easier to remember her husband's name if she married somebody that had the same name as her.
Billy Joe and Billie Jean.
Yes, exactly. And who was the other one?
Donnie Sally.
So we have two of the seven who are left. Your husband, Robert, tell me a little more about him. Now, did he go to school in Wilmore?
He went all grades through Wilmore, Jessamine County High School. He went to service directly out of high school just about.
Mm-hmm. Did he want to?
Yes.
He wasn't drafted. He decided to go.
The buddy system. He and Billy Wiggs and Chuck Smith, they all went at the same time.
And that would have been NOM.
Well, into the, yeah.
Yeah.
Into NOM, yeah.
Were you all at that time, did you know each other or were you dating?
Knew of him. He used to live across the street when I was a little girl.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I knew Helen. She's more my age. And then when he came back from Vietnam, I was the little girl that lived across the street who had grown up.
How much difference is there in age?
3 years.
Three. Well, that's not much at all. So he gets back from NOM. Who noticed who first?
I was working in Sims Drugstore.
Oh, really?
And he came in for a nickel coke.
Yeah?
Lots and lots of nickel cokes.
So he kept coming back, and I guess you were glad that he kept coming mm-hmm. back. What was your maiden name?
Anderson.
Yes, and tell us about your family, because well-known in the Wilmore community as well mm-hmm. with their connection to fire.
My dad was Jimmy Anderson. Mm-hmm. He was Wilmore Fire Chief for a long time.
Yeah.
And my mother was Irene Horton.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hortons are High Bridge people. My brother Buddy, we call him, is in Berea. And my brother Jeff Anderson is Fire Chief in Moorhead.
He's been up there for a little bit, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, several years.
Yeah, which he grew up through the ranks of Wilmore Fire Chief.
Yeah, he was actually Wilmore
Fire Chief. My papa was chief for a while, or 28 years.
Jeff was chief in Wilmore.
He took over as chief after Wilmore after
when Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, Papaw died.
And then went to Moorhead. Your roots, your family's roots, they've been down there for quite a while, just mm-hmm. like I guess the Sallys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these nickel cokes eventually lead to courtship. I assume. And at that time, when he got out of the service and came back, what kind of occupation was he in?
He first worked at the Gulf Station,
yeah,
of NEM Gulf, and then he went straight to the Nicholasville Police Department.
So he worked for Claudia Friel's over there, mm-hmm, and then went to be policeman. Was there any particular reason?
I guess being through the Army, it was just kind of something he always wanted to,
yeah,
do. And Buddy Hammonds was his uncle.
Okay, so Buddy Chief then,
yes,
when he hired him over there?
Yes.
You know, Robert worked in a number of agencies, I think. Did he not work for Tommy Bruner,
mm-hmm,
at the jail?
Yeah.
He was chief deputy, wasn't he?
Chief deputy at the jail.
He was there when they built the new jail.
Yeah.
He oversaw that.
Down here.
The new jail, yeah.
Yeah.
The jail we're at now.
And then, did he work for Wilmore?
Wilmore Police.
Police also.
Under Roger Swallows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it Roger?
Mm-hmm. And then the sheriff's department.
Now, which sheriffs did he work under?
Steve and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The Walker boys. Okay. Mm-hmm. So once he got into law enforcement, he knew that was it. Was he ever in the fire department?
Mm-hmm.
Also? Yeah, he served with Wilmore Fire Department.
In county.
Yeah.
In Nicholasville.
All of them then. Mm-hmm. All three of them. So basically for his entire life and his whole service, his occupation, was community service.
Yes.
Whether fire or law enforcement, one of those. Anything else outside of that, or was that it? That's enough, I'm saying, but was there any outside jobs other than those things?
Johnson Controls,
mm-hmm,
and Sergeant Greenleaf.
Now, at some point in time, he bought enough of those Cokes that you decided to say yes and marry the guy.
Yes.
When would that have happened?
Probably a year later.
And what year would that have been?
He came back in 71, mm-hmm, January 71, and we married December 71.
So at the time you guys married, he was a policeman,
yes,
Nicholasville Police. Did you work? You were at Sims, you said, before that. Were you still at Sims?
I was at the sewing factory.
Down in Wilmore.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work for Mildred Williams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she was managed, I don't know, some,
yeah,
title down there. And I guess
I
Mary worked down there, her daughter, and I don't know if any of the other two girls did, but I know Mary did.
Mm-hmm.
And that, a lot of people don't realize, remember it, the sewing factory down there. Do you, Joan?
No.
That's been a long time ago. And it was, best I remember, it was located in the buildings over by the Braden Park, I think, what is now Braden
Park.
Tococo, okay, that's the other side. And the building's still there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was a massive business at one time, wasn't it?
Yes.
What exactly did they do?
Made blue jeans.
Now,
like
I do
Calvin
remember.
Klein.
Yeah, I do remember as a kid going there, and like they'd have a consignment sale, and he'd go pick out jeans.
Shirts,
yeah,
and jeans.
I do remember that.
Calvin Klein jeans were made in Wilmore, Kentucky. Wonder how many people would have bought. Wonder how many Jessamine County girls would have bought Calvin Klein jeans if they knew it was made right
down the road. Right here in Jessamine County.
That's amazing. So at some point in time then, he's working police, you're working at the sewing factory, you decide to start a family. So tell me, this is a good point. Tell me about your kids.
Robbie was born January 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So about 13 months after we got married.
Okay.
And then Debbie was born November the 14th, 76. And John was born September the 14th, 79.
So let's go with what they're doing now. Start with the oldest. Tell me what they're doing, who they're married to, their kids, that kind of thing.
Okay. Robbie lives with me.
Uh-huh.
And he works for Copper River.
Oh, yeah.
He's chef.
Yeah, good. That's good that you've got somebody that can cook, right?
Yeah.
Take care. Yeah. All right.
And then Debbie is a dental hygienist in,
yeah,
Lexington.
Oh, does she live in Lexington?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She lives in Lexington.
She have any children?
She has a 2-year-old.
All right. So you've got one to spoil there.
Yeah.
And then John,
Debbie's,
of course,
got two.
Oh, so that's three.
Mm-hmm.
And then John.
And then John, the jailer, has 4 girls.
All right.
So I have 7 granddaughters.
So you they're all girls?
They're all girls.
Wow. You know, one of the biggest things, and John will probably relate to this, I grew up with a brother, and my wife grew up with 3 sisters. So it was an adjustment when we started having kids. My first one was a girl.
Right.
And it's different.
Yeah.
It's totally different. And I remember one time when my son, who was at that time 4 or 5 years old, was acting exactly like you and I probably would have at 4 or 5. And Amy was ready to take him to the doctor and check him out because she thought something was wrong. And I said, he's being a boy. Then it dawned on me. She'd never been around him.
Right.
Just like we'd never been around girls. Been an adjustment. Do you find that with yours? Now, you were raised with a sister, so yeah, you had a little bit of insight.
So, yeah, but girls is all I know. Four girls, so I wouldn't know how to raise a boy. A boy.
They're easier.
I've got one little nephew, great nephew, and it's really different.
Do you think boys were easier? This has nothing to do with the Sallies. This is a matter of talking, but I think they are.
My girl was easy.
So he goes, we'll get back then to Robert. He goes and he's a policeman, he's a fire, he's doing all this factory work. Your kids are raised up. Now I want to go over on a different track and talk more about your community service, because you worked in the sewing factory, but eventually you got involved with government as well. Now, I'm assuming that's probably because your dad is fire chief. You know the mayor at that time. Oh, gosh, was he mayor? Was he fire under Harold, or would he have been under Mr. Sims or maybe Mr. Thacker?
When I started working for the city the first time, I was under Mr. Thacker.
Yes.
Dr. Thacker.
Yes.
And Robert did work for Wilmore when we got married, because we were under the CETA program, both of us.
Uh-huh.
Remember that.
Did you get a job as an assistant clerk or something like that? Now, was Colleen clerk then, Colleen Brandenburg?
No.
Who would have been clerk?
Ruth Cushy.
Ed Cushy's widow, who he ran a cemetery in Lexington for many years. Over across, does he really? Lexington. Roger, is that his name? Mm-hmm. And it's across the road from Lexington Cemetery. I don't remember the name of it. But Miss Cushy, I didn't know she was city clerk.
She was.
And that would have been prior, I'm assuming, to Colleen.
Yes.
But Colleen was there a long time.
She was there 32 or 33 years.
Now, when she retired, is that when you took over? Mm-hmm. As city clerk, how long were you the clerk?
2 years.
What did you enjoy the most about that job?
The clerk part?
Yeah.
I guess attending the meetings and actually knowing how the city ran.
Yeah. If all people would go to city meetings or county meetings, John knows this, fiscal court meetings, and just go to a 2-3, I think they would appreciate a little bit more what happens and how our government runs and what they do. I am amazed, especially as these elections occur, at how many people, grown people, who will ask me, well, what is the difference between a magistrate and a commission? What do they do? You know, what's a fiscal? They don't have any idea.
I get a lot of those questions about, you know, what does a magistrate do?
Yeah.
Different things. And I'm like, I just can't believe people don't
know. Yeah, they don't know.
You know, that are voting for this position or that position.
Right.
And it doesn't know what they do.
Now, I am assuming as we move on down the line, you're city clerk, you're involved with city government, your dad is involved for many years, your husband is involved for many years. It only makes sense that one of your children, at least, gets involved with public service as well. Now, before I get to the obvious, was your other two involved with anything like John has been? Mm-hmm. So John is the one, the youngest, who comes along and decides, I'm assuming, fire was probably the first thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's because you've got a grandfather who's the fire chief. Did you start out that business in Wilmore?
Yeah, I actually started Wilmore Fire Department the day I turned 18.
Couldn't wait.
I mean,
you were raised at the fire station.
Yeah, I was raised from the fire station with my grandfather, or my papa, that's what I called him, papa. Well, as far as I can remember. I remember when they built the station, going every day and helping work and build the station where they're at now.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I've ever known.
And, you know, we've got several people in our community who are like that. Gerald Wheeler's one.
Johnny,
I mean,
Johnny Adams,
raised on the trucks.
They're raised right there. I mean,
so it only makes sense that they are involved like they are. You did that, but did you work outside? Because Wilmore Fire Department, still then volunteer. Are they still volunteer?
Still volunteer.
So you had to make a living. What did you do?
Yeah. Going through high school, I worked at the Sportsman's Club there in Wilmore. I ran skeet and sport and clay.
Mm-hmm.
Until I turned 18, then I worked for the city of Nicholsville down at the
sewer plant.
Water plant.
Really? I don't know that I knew that.
Yeah.
You worked, and Danny John was, no, it wasn't Danny, he was over the water up here. Mickey Hampshire.
Yeah, Hampshire. Worked with Ray and Cobb.
Oh, gosh.
We were all down there. Yeah. Did that until I went from there to the phone company, and still the whole time I had to join Wilmore, and then since joined the county. I would volunteer for Wilmore and Jessamine when I was a senior in high school. I would leave class
Yeah. To go on fire runs, which, of course, you couldn't do that now.
What year was that?
98.
So you always knew that was going to be a part of your path. Life.
I knew from as long as I knew what a career was, mm-hmm. You know, that I was going to be in public service, either fire department or police. You know, I always, when Dad was with the police department, really sheriff's office, and then he was assistant chief with Nicholsville Police, mm-hmm. when I was in elementary school. So I always had that bug, too. I had both, you know, and
yeah.
we would, me and Jeff Bates and Johnny Adams would ride our wagons down Main Street with, you know, old fire gear on and fire helmets, and we were the Wilmore Junior Fire Department, is what we called ourselves. But that's all I ever knew that I was going to do. I knew that's where I was going,
yeah.
no
yeah.
doubt.
So once you graduated, you're doing that, you're working some places, but you do eventually end up in some kind of law enforcement,
yeah.
don't you?
When I turned 21, you know, that's when you become either your age eligible to become a law enforcement officer or full-time fire department somewhere.
Right.
So I had that decision to make, and I ran so much with really Wilmore County Fire that I'm like, okay, I've got that feel. Let's feel what I see with law enforcement and try to see if that's something I really enjoy. And man, I love it.
Well, where did you start?
Nicholsville. When I was 22, I got hired at Nicholsville Police under Barry Waldrop.
Oh, yeah. Who is your
second
cousin? Yes. Yeah. The connection there again.
Right. Barry's mom, my dad, brother, and sister.
Robert. Okay.
So Barry and I are first cousin.
Okay.
So Barry. And
so his mother was an Anderson.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he's your cousin, hires you as Nicholsville Police. Was it all that you thought it would be?
Yeah.
Of course, you kind of knew because
I knew. I'd been around it. And, you know, when I was, I got to know a lot of the sheriff's deputies when I was on the fire department. Mm-hmm. And would do ride-alongs with them and kind of see some of the things that goes on mm-hmm. a monthly basis in law enforcement, especially in Jessamine County, because, you know, that's something else. I always knew that I would do it here in Jessamine County. I always wanted to be here in Jessamine County.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, at one point, was in the hiring process for Lexington Fire. I just stayed here in Jessamine County.
Just
I know everybody and love to serve the people here.
Now, did you not work at the airport?
Yes.
Tell us, because you worked at the airport when a very significant and terrifying event occurred.
Right, yeah.
And that was the crash
yeah.
of, what was the flight number? 5191.
Yeah. Since I'd left Nicholsville and went to the sheriff's office just uh-huh. because I did it so I could go anywhere in the county.
And was that under one of the Walker boys?
Yeah.
Joe?
Well, yeah. It was I started under Joe.
Okay.
And so that was right when Joe was leaving and Kevin was kind of running things. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just tell you, I had a call in to go. I just felt like that's what I needed to do. One day, it's not like I've been looking to go mm-hmm. to the airport mm-hmm. for a long number of years mm-hmm. or anything. It was told to me instantly, said, yeah, I need to do this. And went and started in 06 or 05. I think it was 06. Yeah. And then stayed there 6 months. Actually, I was there 6 months. And as soon as I got there, I was so used to being involved in everything and, you know, running with the fire department, running the sheriff's office, always taking calls, being really busy to go in there. And it was not a whole lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd asked Joe, you know, I'd literally like to come back. And he's like, well, just wait it out, you know. This is my. I'm not running again, so we'll see who comes in next. And sheriff, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
So the night I worked 5991 or 5191, I'm sorry. I remember calling Mickey Houston at dispatch mm-hmm. and talking to him. I was mm-hmm. like, man, there's just nothing goes on up
here. at the airport.
At the airport.
And this then, was the night before.
Yeah, and then that morning is when the crash happened.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was
on duty.
Yeah, I was. I was at, actually. There's two officers. You do fire, police, and EMS up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working third shift patrol. So I was on the police side of it. And I was working in the terminal, patrolling the terminal mm-hmm. when it went out. It's like 6:30 in the morning. And knew right where the area where it crashed. You could see it from the airport, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there and just trying to disassemble what to do next. Look for survivors.
Had you guys had any specialized training for that?
Yeah, we were all R-certified, air crash, fire mm-hmm. rescue. We're all certified in that.
But that's one of those things that you just think, I'll never use this.
You know, it's one of the things that it's the worst thing that could happen, and that's the thing that you never think would happen.
Right.
So.
Were you the first one there?
Yeah.
Wasn't Pete Maupin also involved with that?
Yeah, Pete was working with me. He was the other patrol on the outside.
Yeah.
We got there and found the one survivor and got him out of there. And that was about the time Pete got there. And then Pete drove the co-pilot with the other Lexan officer and transported him to the hospital.
You know, John, and the only reason I know this is because mm-hmm. I've had family in the fire business. There's a lot of things you see that mm-hmm. are not pleasant.
Right.
In law enforcement too, not just mm-hmm. fire. Is that rank number one as something that you would?
Yeah, number one thing that I've seen and can't forget.
Yeah,
let's just say that. But there's a lot of things that's happened here in Jessamyn County that, you know, they still go through a daily basis that you don't, not a lot of people hear about. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in Jessamyn County that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. And all of our police and fire, folks, you wonder why that a lot of them they retire at 20 years and the stress. I mean, John's trying to tell you in a roundabout way, there's a lot of things that you just don't realize.
Right. These guys are, fire and police, you know, they see a lot of trauma, a lot of human behavior that people don't like to see, that have to deal with on a daily basis.
And two, I would think, and luckily I've never been through anything like this, but I would think that with the plane crash especially, when you arrive, the first thing that goes through your mind is how many people can we find living? And then at some point, after the adrenaline has wore off and it finally hits you, what has really happened? That's got to be something that's kind of hard to adjust to, I would think.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was a Delta flight until after we got the pilot out. And I went back in to try to find some more people and seen the Delta emblem on the jet and realized then how many people
was there and how
they were there. Yeah.
Wow. How long did you stay up there after that?
We did a lot of stuff. With the crash,
yeah,
and so I stayed another 6 months and then worked it out with Kevin Corman to come back to the sheriff's
as a sheriff's deputy.
Yes.
So at some point in time, though, you get this itch that you maybe want to be in the jailing business. Now, it's somewhat related. Mm-hmm. You fooled with the jail because of your work with the police and fire, or fire and, I'm sorry, police and sheriff.
Right.
What urged you to run?
Dad was,
yeah.
I remember Dad doing it when I was a kid. He worked under Tommy Brunner as a chief deputy for years, and I liked the environment down there, and it was a good time to run, and it was really a good thing for my family.
Yeah.
You know, at this point I've got three kids working thirds and doing everything. It was Monday through Friday.
And I understand that. When I became circuit clerk, I was at the funeral home. And basically was 24/7. And I had a 2.5-year-old. And I thought, you know, I have an opportunity now. It has come up that I have an opportunity to possibly get a normal job. Right. And not have to worry about taking away if it's Christmas and all that stuff. And so I understand completely what you're right. thinking.
In law enforcement and fire department, there's no holidays.
Right.
You may get holiday pay, but if you have to work Thanksgiving, man, you're on shift.
That's exactly right.
Public service never... The door's never closed, just like the jail. The jail's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Before I ask you more about that particular job, you mentioned those three kids you had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to four.
Yeah.
We need to mention your wife and kids, or we'll both be in the doghouse. Yes. Why don't we do that now?
Yeah, so in 2005, I got back with my high school sweetheart, Mandy mm-hmm. Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
So the funny story on that was, and I'll tell it, is I was working for a sheriff's office, and this was before the crash, and I knew where she grew up. This is my high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
I knew where she lived and knew her address. So I was working in the sheriff's office, and a 911 hang-up call came in.
Mm-hmm.
And the address was familiar, so I was like, I asked dispatch what was the name on it. It said Jenkins. I said, I'll take that. So I go over there, and she was recently divorced. So was I. So I told her, I said, it was an accident and I won't hang up. A lot of times kids play with the phone.
Right. Things,
and that's what her daughter Madeline was playing with the phone. So that was when we kind of got back introduced.
So you can thank Madeline.
Thank Madeline. That's right.
Now, Mandy had two children?
One.
One.
Yes.
Okay, Madeline.
Right.
You, though...
Had Alicia.
Had Alicia. Mm-hmm. And by your first wife. Now, how old is Alicia now?
She's going to turn 16 in February. She's 15.
Okay. And then Madeline is how old?
14.
14. Yeah. All right. Then you and Mandy, you marry. You got two.
Yeah.
Right?
Mary Caroline and Anderson.
And they are how old?
Anderson is 7.
Yeah.
And Caroline just turned 10.
Yeah. Got a household of all those ladies.
Beautiful girls.
And goats.
And goats.
And stuff like that.
And dogs.
Yeah.
Evidently enjoy the jail. You ran for re-election. You won this primary and were not opposed a few weeks ago. Best job you've had? And I'm not saying if it's not, everything, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but. I do miss working the roads and the adrenaline and going to the hot calls. And, you know, the youth of me misses that. But I enjoy the jail, too. I get to do other things. You know, as far as helping my community different ways with the road program. And, you know, we get the baptistry program with Jessamine Christian Church and getting to help people that way. A little different, you know, but I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to give back in certain ways that I didn't get to before.
I will have to say, though, that is one of those jobs. And I've said this before. In fact, I'll tell you this little story. Tommy Bruner, when I worked for Mildred Williams in the county clerk's office, called me one time. And he wanted, what year would Robert have worked for him? Do you know, Phyllis?
88, 89. I mean, he was
late 80s.
Yeah, the new jail, or the jail on Maple Street now, was built. It went active, started, I guess it was built in 89.
Yeah.
So it was right in there.
Well, there was a period of time, and Tommy had called me one day about coming down to work for him. And I said, Tommy, I just don't know that I'm cut out for that. He said, well, you don't have to fool much with these guys. He said, you know, it's going to be the office. And I said, listen, I appreciate you asking. It takes certain type people, I think, to do any job, for that matter. It's not just jail. It's any job. But to me, I knew that Doug was not the type person that would fit in the jail. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody there. It's just not. I'm not. If anything, I'm saying I'm not good enough.
Right.
Because it takes a special person, I think, to be able to deal with what you're dealing with. Police is the same way. Mm-hmm. Fire is the same way. I couldn't be a fireman. There's no way I could be a fireman. I couldn't get all that equipment on and go into a house. I just couldn't do it. My brother did it, but I couldn't. Right. On the other hand, he would never get behind a microphone.
Right.
We've all got our strengths.
That's right.
But it's a job that I don't know, that I know I couldn't do. I think it takes somebody very special to be able to do that job because of the patience.
Yeah. That's number one. Patience.
Yeah.
In law enforcement, corrections, you got to have a lot of patience.
You sure do. Now, one thing I do think that we had somewhat in common, even though it was on a different level. In the funeral business, you have to learn, especially in a small town, you have to learn how to be compassionate without being a crier. Now, let me explain that. In a small town where you basically know everybody you're dealing with, you have to walk a fine line, and you want to make sure that family knows that you are caring for them in their time of need. But the last thing they need is a crying funeral director. So you have to have some edge of hardness, but you don't want to seem cold.
Right.
I would almost say it's, especially in law enforcement, you have to be stern, but you don't want to be, I don't think, the bully.
Right.
You got to have some kind of common sense and compassion. Does that all play in? Does that all make sense?
That's something my dad always taught me is, you know, he was fair, but he was stern.
There you go.
I think that, you know, and he was patient. So I think those three traits was what makes a good law enforcement officer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have all three.
Right.
Or you're not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. Well, speaking of traits, and Phyllis, I'll go back to you for a minute. He mentioned things you have to do to be a good law enforcement or fireman. If you had to give me traits of Robert, though, just as a person, what's the first two or three words that would come to your mind to describe him?
He was patient and fair. all three of it that you just mentioned, compassionate.
So it wasn't just in his job. He was that way in life.
In life.
And that's the way that, you would remember him, and most people would.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people coming to the house when I was a kid, want to talk to Dad. Mm-hmm. And, for you know, anytime there was a situation in his side of the family or anything like that, they all came to Dad. Mm-hmm. Having those traits, if he didn't, that would have been the case.
Yeah. Yeah. What year did we lose Robert?
17, last year.
Last year.
May 11th, 2017.
Yeah. You know, it's tough. I've lost a dad. It's tough to give him up. But, you know, you are in a situation much like I am. I think what I'm about to say you'll agree with. Mm-hmm. I'm the first to tell you that a lot of my success is because of who my daddy was.
Right. Yeah.
There's no doubt. You have to admit that.
Yeah.
Because without them being fair and compassionate and all those traits you mentioned,
paving the way.
They paved the way.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, people ought to be judged on their own, but I'm proud of the fact.
Exactly.
And I don't mind a bit saying, when I got into the political realm, I knew there was people out there that voted for me because of my dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tickled me to death.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you, I'm sure, probably feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... Even when I was out campaigning for the first time, you know, I would tell, especially, you know, anywhere in the county I was, I would always tell them who my parents were.
Yeah.
And or my grandparents, or, you know, and that's how people relate to who you are, where you came from.
That's exactly right. Had a person one time look at me, this was when I was city commissioner, and said, how do you get your vote? Said, you don't have a big family. And my response, it's not all about quantity, it's about quality.
Right.
And I believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you, especially you and your brother and sister, have benefited from the way that your mom and dad carried themselves, and she still does, but all through his career. We should be very proud that we come from where we are. We've had good raising, John.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to us, but it's not their fault, right?
At some point.
We'll blame it on the wives.
That's right.
Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in today and sharing the history of the Sally family. I know there's a whole lot more you can talk about, but we want to remember not only the contribution that you guys have given, but especially Robert and the years that he put in our community, not just Wilmore, but Nicholasville, Jessamine County. He covered it all. And was very well thought of and still continued to be remembered in that way. And I appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you, Doug, for having us today.
Yeah. My thanks to Phyllis and John Sally for coming in today and talking about their family, in particular their husband, their dad, Robert. I appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock as well. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning from 6 to 8 to get you up and going on Jess FM 105.9.